Now, you know what I mean? That's just something. No. Our key verse, we've been doing a series called The Roar of Heaven. It comes out of the base verse is out of Joel chapter 3. We'll throw this on the verse, throw this verse on the screen. It says out of the King James, "The Lord also shall roar out of Zion, and his voice from Jerusalem. And the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel." The Lord shall roar, and he will speak. What is the roar? I believe the roar is the command of God. We see in Revelation 5, that, and again, challenge everything that I say, anybody says, that's keeping your heart right, that's how allowing you to grow, and that's how we keep from being caught up in some weird ideas that happen in the church world, happens anywhere. But the command of God is the roar of God. Let me say that again. The command of God is the roar of God. In quick review, we talked about when God speaks, he expects something to happen. God roars from heaven and the earth shakes. Not only heaven, but the earth. Not just the spiritual side, but the natural side. So when God's word, when he speaks it, he expects it to do something. We see that also out of Isaiah 55, verse 10 and 11. As rain and snow fall from heaven and waters the earth and makes it produce, so shall my word be, verse 11 says. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return void, but it will accomplish that to which it sent. So it doesn't return empty-handed. It is accomplishing to what it's assigned to do, to what it's sent. So that tells me when God speaks, it's moving. His word is moving on an assignment to bring change. When God speaks, his word carries power. Now, if you want to know what the assignment of something is, then we have to understand what is it containing. If you want to know what an apple seed's assignment is, then find the seed. It's an apple seed. The assignment of an apple seed is to produce apples, right? Matthew 13 tells us that God's word is also a seed. So when God sends it out, it's a seed going forth. What is that assignment? Well, Jesus said that my words, that they are spirit and they are life. The assignment is to bring the presence of God and the provision of God and the life of God into your life in a tangible way. Can I get an amen? Jesus said it this way in John 10:10. The thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you might have life and life more abundantly. John 1:1 tells us that Jesus, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And so when God sent his Word, his Son, he sent the Word, what was the assignment? To produce life and to produce the presence of God in your life. Can I get amen? You can gain the whole world, but if you miss the first part and you don't have a relationship with Jesus and there's no spiritual life, you lose it all. Right. You don't believe me? Follow the people that seem like they have it all and figure out why they're on their seventh divorce, third rehab. Why? Because they're going for stuff without God. But God says, you'll remember, let me remind you when you've done well, that it's me that's given you power to get wealth, and I've added no sorrow to it. Because when God blesses you, when God heals you, when God promotes you, are you listening to me, church? When God does it, he who brought you there is well able to keep you. Amen. And so you don't have to figure out, because the people that do it on their own carry the burden of trying to keep what they got.
Right.
Oh, I'm a self-made man. Then you're going to be self-destructive because you're going to try to spend all your energy how to keep what you've got. But when you do it God's way, he brings a peace and a joy. Can I get an amen? There's no sorrow added to it. So you can run a big business without the stress of it. You can run a big organization without being overwhelmed by it. You can open up a school and have a lot of kids and not being, oh, no, how am I going to do it? Why? Because the grace of God empowers you to stand in a position of authority without the weight of it, because he's the one who brought you. He's the one who's keeping you. Can I get an amen? Give me a better amen than that. What God speaks, he expects. So I could say it this way. God's word changes our world. If you allow it. Well, pastor, I knew somebody that God answered their prayer, but he didn't answer mine yet. Does he love them better than, more than he loves me? Nope, he's not a respecter of persons. Well, does it mean I'm a bad person because there's areas of my life that need to be changed? Nope, it just means you're a real person. Never let the devil tell you or sell you that you're a bad person if you deal with challenges. Life shouldn't be perpetual challenges, but no one is exempt from challenges. Jesus said, in this world, you'll deal with trials and tribulation. But he didn't stop there. He said, be of good cheer. I have overcome. There's no reason for you to be of good cheer because he's overcome unless there's a connection that you can access that allows you to overcome. Right? So when you understand that, then you begin to be of good cheer when trials or challenges come. Why? Because you know you might not be exempt from challenges, but as a child of God, you can be exempt from failure. You can be exempt from being defeated. Right. Well, I don't know anybody who's never done it. Hey, listen, we're not followers of them. We're followers of Jesus. Right. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ, the anointed one who strengthens me. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith, 1 John 5:4. Right. So it doesn't mean, and we're all growing. Hopefully we're growing. Right. If it didn't work the first time, then keep learning. God didn't change. God's forever the same. He's elevated his word, Psalms 119, above his name. Heaven and earth will pass away before his word fails, Jesus said. Anybody who hears and obeys his word is building their life on the rock. And so as you learn, because no one starts off with a complete revelation. It's like being born. When you're born again, when you get saved, you start off as a spiritual baby. You're learning and growing. But one of the things that I believe that's lost in the church world is we've lost the tenacity that belongs to us as children of God. Jesus said, listen, keep asking, keep knocking, keep going after it, keep going. And as you keep going after it, you're going to learn some stuff.
Yes.
Now, when you learn some stuff, that'll not only help you be better, but you can help other people. They're like, oh, it's going. Hey, listen, you can say, I've been there. I played at that level. Let me tell you how to get farther faster with the truth of the Word of God. Amen?
Right.
And so it's not judging and comparing ourselves. We're to complete each other. We are all different parts of the body of Christ, each with their own assignment, and working together in love. Guess what? We come and become a complete person in the body of Christ. And so it's like, hey, wait a minute. I know you're there. I know it's a big struggle, but let me tell you what I've discovered. Let me tell you how I've seen it work. And we can begin to learn, but don't quit. I don't know who I'm talking to. Don't quit. Well, I've tried 5 times and it didn't work. Well, keep trying. Keep knocking. Keep knocking. Keep knocking. How long do I keep knocking? Until you have what you're going for.
That's right.
Amen? Because it's through faith and patience we inherit the promises, Hebrews 6:12.
Right.
We obtain the promises, Hebrews 11:33, through faith. So we got to keep at this thing. Look to your neighbor and say, don't give up now. The saddest thing is not the person who didn't get. The saddest thing is the person who gave up the last mile of their journey.
Right.
You get to heaven and say, Lord, why didn't you answer my prayer? Are you kidding me? It was at the door. It was in reach. And right before, the devil sold you and told you that you didn't need it or God wouldn't do it, and you quit believing, you gave up, and you walked away.
Come on.
You want to kick yourself. Don't give up. Look to your neighbor and say, don't give up. So we see in Revelation 5:5 that Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And if Jesus is the Lion and he's the Son of God, and we're children of God, we're a part of the body of Christ, he's the head, then if he's a Lion, that means we are a Lion.
Right.
That means if he has a roar, then we can have a roar.
Amen.
And we've talked about finding your roar. Because it's not you coming up with stuff. That's where we get messed up in the church world. People try to use their imagination and make-believe world, and they've watched too much Disney and some weird stuff, and they just start fantasizing, and then they try to add faith to it. And faith doesn't come by you fantasizing and you use your imagination. Faith comes by hearing, Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God.
Right.
And all of a sudden, it becomes your roar. You take ownership, Deuteronomy 29:29 tells us, when God reveals it. For Deuteronomy 29:29 says, the secret things belong to the Lord, but the things revealed belong to you and your children.
Amen.
So you know what I draw from that? When the Holy Spirit reveals something to you, 1 Corinthians 2:9, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither entered the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him, but he has revealed them by his Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the one who reveals the Word of God. And when he reveals it, it becomes yours. Stay with me. And when it becomes yours, it not only impacts you, it impacts your family. Come on, somebody. You maybe have grown up and there's 7 generations of alcohol, alcoholics, and you're like, this is not what God has for me. You get that thing broken, you get victory over it, and not only do you get ownership of victory, it will change your children and your children's children. Because your candle just doesn't light for you. Jesus said, put it in position, it benefits everyone in the room. So say, when I get a revelation, it benefits me and my children. So you get a hold of what the blessing's about. We got to get past this whole thing of, people go to war over the craziest things. Oh, that prosperity gospel. Show me in scripture where God says, if you serve me, you're going to fail. Prosperity just means success.
Right.
Now, some people will get success over God, and that's not God's fault. That's their ignorance. Right. God wants you blessed. Amen. You don't look at your children and say, I love you, dear. I hope five bullies pick on you, and every test you fail, and I hope you... No good parent does that.
Right.
And Jesus said, if you which are evil know how to do good gifts for your children, how much more your Heavenly Father?
That's right.
So he wants to bless you. It doesn't mean you have to drive and have five Bentleys.
Right.
People get weird. It just, wow, got quiet. You've been praying for five Bentleys. Maybe. Between you and Jesus, if he gives you five Bentleys, you loan one to pastor on the weekends. Come on, somebody. Got quiet. But we never allow, God doesn't mind you having stuff. He just doesn't want stuff to have you. So if Jesus has a roar, we can have a roar. We talked about finding that roar and raising that roar. I want you to look at a couple things, because when we not only have the roar, we have to release the roar. The lion can sit quietly, but there's no roar. What has hindered the church in Ephesians says, take the sword of the Spirit. Take the sword of the Spirit. In the evil day, in the day when you're being attacked, in the day where it seems you're in darkness, having done all, stand. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Didn't say feel strong, said be strong. And put on the armor of God. And then it goes through in Ephesians. It talks about all these different parts. Your mind, your heart. And at the end of it, it says take the sword of the Spirit. But I want you to notice that in the armor, all of it except for that piece is a defensive mechanism.
Yeah.
And God is saying, listen, when you're under attack, don't run away. Because none of the armor covers your backside. Everything's on the front. God said, he didn't say run away. He said stand. Having done all, stand your ground. Man, there's a tenacity that's got to come back to the church world.
Yes.
When you got people, it doesn't matter how big or how strong or how quiet or how loud, but you know how to get a hold of God in prayer. And you get a hold of what God says and you refuse to let go. You refuse to give in. I've shared this story before. Greg and Courtney, Courtney's my sister, and Greg leads the worship. They're my neighbors. And I remember years ago, they had this one dog, a King Corso, and I came out of my front door and walked outside, and that crazy dog, if you don't know what a King Corso is, they're big dogs. They evidently have a bite stronger than a pit bull, but I don't want to find out. So I don't want to challenge it. And I came out one day, and that dog had jumped real high and got a hold of a branch that was a horizontal branch of a tree. Had to be about 8-9 feet high. And he's hanging with that branch in his mouth. He was not letting go of it. He was pulling and jerking and body was swinging, but he was not letting go. I thought, that crazy dog. But you know what? He found something he wanted. Listen to me, child of God. A lot of Christians walk through life and all they get and all they want is what falls naturally to the ground. And God still loves you. You'll still go to heaven. But I want to encourage you with hope. Because faith is a substance of things hoped for. There's another level of seeing what God has for you, having your eyes open.
Amen.
It comes from the Spirit of God. And all of a sudden, you begin to look up and see what's available to you.
Yes.
And you begin to rise higher than anybody has ever risen in your family.
Yes.
And you get a hold of something. And there will be people that walk by and look at you and say, that crazy person, what are they doing? But they don't know that you have in your heart that belongs to me too. And I'm going for it. They might say it's over. They might say it's too late. They might say I need to pack it up. They might say that it'll never happen. But not you, because you got a revelation, a rhema in your heart. And you look up and say, God, just like Abraham did. He saw the stars and said, God told him, look, count. That's how your children's going to be. That sounded crazy. That sounded crazy. It's okay if the world thinks you're crazy sometimes. Not because you're weird, but because you're dreaming big.
Right.
You're believing big.
Yeah.
I'm going to start a business. Well, you can't start a business. Hey, I'm believing for 10 stores. You ought to believe for 20 stores.
Yeah.
Dream big. Work hard. Trust God. Releasing the roar of heaven. Releasing. Get a hold of the word of God. Get a hold of, you take Ephesians 6:17, we'll throw it on the screen. Ephesians 6:17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. It's about the fifth verse in. I'm jumping around for all the media team. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Notice, it doesn't say this, but it's inferred. You take the sword. See that? We're waiting for somebody to hand us the sword. You, look to your neighbor and say, you. No one's going to take it for you. I wish we can get some more evangelists to come through in our city. No. Praise God for the fivefold ministry. Praise God for men and women of God. Amen. But it said, you take the sword. You have the ability. You have the ability. You have the right. Take the sword of the Spirit. Take the sword of the Spirit. You got to get a hold of this. We are referred to 1 John 1:1. That which came from before the beginning. From the beginning came. That we have heard, which we have heard with our ears. Which we have seen with our eyes. And we have looked upon, which we have handled with our hands, that word of life. There's different levels of understanding the word. Some people, they're satisfied. Oh, I showed up. You know, I went to church 3 times last year. You'd think something big would happen in my life. Well, you can't find that anywhere. Spend 3 days in my word and everything will go. No, Joshua 1 says, study, meditate in that word day and night. You got to get in it. You got to get serious about it. Some people don't want that. They just want that water just at their toes so they can put their toe in and say, ooh, I experienced a little bit of Jesus. That's okay. You can still get to heaven that way, but you can't get heaven to your earth. Come on, somebody. See, we want you to not only get to heaven, but we want to bring heaven into this part of our earth. Jesus told the disciples, pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. Your kingdom come, your will be done. What was the assignment of the disciples when Jesus sent them out? He said, go everywhere and let them know the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. And then heal the sick. What was he doing? He's telling them, proclaim, declare that the order, that's the kingdom, the order of God, the rule of God, the rule of God is here. What is the order? See, you've got to understand that the understanding of a kingdom in which they related to, a king's responsibility was to keep order. The prophet was the voice of God to the people. The priest was anointed to be represented from the people to God as far as the sacrifice. But the king was anointed to bring things in order. So he was the one to discern the difference between that's out of order. That's out of order. That's out of order. And we need to bring it to order. And sometimes that means you go to war. When an army is attacking you, the king says, wait a minute, that's not correct. That's not acceptable. We need to go to war. And he would tell his soldiers, get on your armor, get your sword, get ready. We're going to war. Why? Because there's an enemy trying to subdue, trying to take, trying to steal. Do you see where I'm going with this? You got to understand, we are kings and priests unto our God. That's why David could discern the cause of Goliath, because he had been anointed already by the prophet Samuel with the anointing to be king, which means when he stepped into this situation, he could discern the situation that, wait a minute, this is not acceptable. Then he not only knew it wasn't acceptable, something had to be done. And he was saying to the king, listen, your servant David will take it. Why? Because I am going after him, and it's not about me. The God who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will be the God who delivers me. And he told Goliath, listen, you can threaten me all you want. You're just giving me more ideas about you, because you said you're going to use my body. We're going to use your body and the bodies of all these other soldiers of yours to feed them to the animals, because you haven't come against the army of just men. You are coming with sword and shield. I'm coming against you with the army of the Most High God, whom you've defied. All of a sudden you realize it's not just you. You have a backing that's bigger than you. For greater is he that is in you. I'm talking to somebody. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The psalmist says, God, you go before me. You walk behind me and your hand of blessing. When you begin to understand this kingly anointing in the New Testament, we call it the gift of faith, 1 Corinthians 12. When you understand this kingdom of this kingly authority, that when you step into it, you can discern what is right and what's not. And you can bring the order of God. Say the order of God. David was bringing the order of God. Jesus brought the order of God. Do you remember the story? When he told the disciples, we're going to get in the boat and go to the other side. He said, we're going to go to the other side. Say the other side. Come on, say the other side. This is Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. Jesus said, what? We're going to the other side. Now, Jesus didn't put any backup plans. Jesus didn't say, we're going to the other side if everybody likes us, if everybody agrees with us, if we get 3,000 thumbs up, 1,400 new likes, and 7,000 new shares, we're going to the other side. Jesus didn't say, we're going to the other side. He didn't say, we're going to the other side if the weather's perfect and we have everything's going smooth. Come on, child of God. We're talking about tenacity. You don't go to war because it's convenient. You go to war because you realize something's out of order.
Right.
Something's out of alignment than the king has designed it to be. And so Jesus said, we're going to the other side. And then he went to sleep. Again, read this on your own time. And we all know the story that while they were going, even the professional fishermen began to panic. Why? Because an unexpected storm showed up. Would you like a 3-day warning on storms? I know I would. Next Thursday, the devil's going to try to hit you by threatening you with your job, and the boss is going to be angry and try to take it out. Oh, well, I'm going to spend time praying. I'm going to get myself built up so I'm ready. Devil doesn't play that way, does he? He don't fight fair. But that's why you got to be strong and stay prayed up. Stay read up. Amen. And so Jesus gets in the boat, and he falls asleep. And the disciples are trying to solve the problem themselves, and they can't. And they begin to wake him up and say, Lord, don't you care? I love how it's written. Lord, don't you care that we're about to die? It's amazing how we get under the stress and the pressure of attack by the enemy, and we blame God for it.
Come on.
Don't you care, God, why this happened to me? I've loved you. I've served you. I've been a Sunday school teacher for 47 years. Lord, why did this happen? Well, because you're in a bore.
Right.
The devil don't like you.
Right.
Wow, that just hurt some of your feelings. The devil doesn't like me. No, the devil hates you. Why? Because you're a child of God and he hates God.
Right.
So quit being a sissy about the whole thing.
Come on.
Why did I? Listen, life's not about constant battles, but there will be wars and battles coming to you. You got to be strong in the Lord and say, wait a minute, there's a battle. I'm not going to sit here and take it. I'm not going to let my teeth be knocked in. I'm not going to reevaluate my life and try to accommodate. Why do we accommodate a demon, the devil, and the tactics of the devil anyway? Jesus, when they woke him up, he said, all right, guys, here's what we're going to do. Let's get together. We're going to go east and do a detour. It'll add a few days to the journey, but that seems like the smoothest route. Some of us are looking for detours from heaven. And when God said we're going to the other side, the word was already spoken. Do you get my point?
Yes.
Isaiah 55, 11. It's already been a sign. It's already been commanded. And he said, I'm going to the other side. And so when they hit the storm, what did Jesus do? Two things. Look it up for yourself. First of all, it says he rebuked the wind.
Right.
Well, that's just kind of crazy. He's speaking to wind. Speaks to fig trees. That's crazy, but it worked.
Yep.
What did he do? He rebuked the wind. What was the wind? The wind was what was causing the storm.
Right.
If you eliminate the wind, there wouldn't be no waves.
Come on.
So he was rebuking the assignment of what was causing The pro. Oh, now put that on hold. Let me jump over here. I got to tell you another story because I got two or three witnesses. Peter said, let everything be established. So Jesus is walking one day and he's hungry and he sees a fig tree, the Bible says, from afar off. And even though it's not time for the figs, he sees the leaves and expects food. Why? Because a fig tree has figs when it has leaves. And so he walks over to the fig tree, which has leaves, expecting to eat because he's hungry. These are just practical, natural things. This is not earth shattering, but it's still important in the principle. And Jesus walks over to it and he begins to notice that when he gets there, there's no figs. And he says to the fig... He says to the fig tree, that just don't make sense to my natural mind, but that's okay. How many people realize the word of God tells us that God's thoughts are not our thoughts and his ways are not our ways? As the heaven is higher than the earth, so God's ways. So we can't do God's stuff with our old way of thinking. I've never done it that way. Well, that's why you get what you got. But we're all growing, right? We're all learning. And so he looked at the fig tree and there was no figs. And it wasn't even the season of figs. The Bible says it. But it had leaves. So it was presenting. It had something when it had nothing. Don't you like that? That's a cloud without rain. That's in a marketing agency with a bad product. Have you ever done that? You watch the TV and say, oh, this will fix your life. And they sell you for 30, 40 minutes. You've done bought one. Sometimes you buy two. Sometimes four by accident. You don't know how you did that. And all of a sudden you get all these show up and it's not what you expected. See, with God, it's greater than you expected.
Amen.
But with men, it's worse. Have you ever seen that people overinflate what they are? I hate that. I'd rather underpromote and overdeliver than overpromote and underdeliver. And so this fig tree, and I think that happens a lot in the church world. People sell stuff on their advertising, and you walk in the doors, and there's no life, there's no power, there's no joy, there's no peace, there's no... Okay. So he goes to the fig tree, and he says... No man will eat from you ever. Now later, and then they left. They didn't stand there. They left. They didn't say, let's watch. They moved on. They didn't say, what's your goosebump feeling? I think I'm about to get one. We wait. We look for goosebump confirmation. We look for visual confirmation. Jesus didn't. He believed so much in his word that he was able to move on.
Right.
That's a next level, folks. Some of us are waiting, and the devil will tempt you. Well, let's just see. Do you feel, check it, do you feel any different? Let's call your boss and see if he gave you the raise. You're praying for an increase. Let's see if this, and you're looking for the symptoms to change because you've lacked confidence in the word that produces the change. In fact, the Bible says that he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all destruction. One translation says it this way. He sent his word, and by it, by the word, he healed them. And so, They come by later, and Peter says, Lord, look at the fig tree you cursed. It's dried up at its very root. Jesus didn't go, OMG, would you look at that? This stuff really works. Right? He begins to talk to them and teach them. Listen, Mark 11, that if you believe and don't doubt, you can speak to the natural. The mountain is the illustration he used, and it will be removed. You begin to see a change. So Jesus talks to the fig tree because it was out of order and it dried up. He talked to the wind and it stopped.
Right.
What areas has the devil been working you over that you've just been trying to endure instead of dominate? Well, I just don't think God would do that. Well, then for you, it won't happen.
Right.
But when you get the revelation of the word, when it becomes alive, when it's revealed to you, then you begin to understand and say, wait a minute, this is possible for me. Mm-hmm. It's not coming up with your own thing. It's speaking what God said. Amen. Don't you remember the centurion soldier? And he said to Jesus, listen, I don't deserve to even have you under my roof. Just speak the word only and my servant will be healed because I'm a man under authority and I'm a man over authority. And I say to one, come, and he comes, another, go, and he goes. And Jesus didn't say, excuse me, sir, you're not Jewish, you're Roman, and you don't understand the way we do things. That's not how it works around here. No, Jesus said, wow, I haven't even found faith like that in Israel. Because he didn't, and literally, he wouldn't have said, I say to one. Anybody who's been in the military knows they don't say, they bark.
Right.
It's a command.
Right.
So he's saying, I receive a command and I communicate the command.
Right.
And it happens. That's the problem. Even your ability to rebuke the devil, resist the devil, he'll flee. How many of you quoted that? Resist the devil, he will flee. Look at the condition before you look at the action. Because the condition was, submit yourself to God.
Right.
Then resist the devil. You're out clubbing and drinking and partying and living in sin and adultery all week, and then the devil starts messing with you because the consequences of sin is death, and then you try to resist the devil and nothing happens, and you blame God.
Come on.
Now it's getting quiet. Submit yourself. Get under his command.
Yes.
What is he saying? And we know that by the example of Jesus. He said, the words that I speak, they're not my words, it's the words of the Father. The things, the miracles I do are not me, it's the Father doing the works.
Right.
What was he saying? I receive the command from heaven and then I speak it.
Yeah.
And that wind ceases.
Yeah. Yeah.
I speak it and that fig tree dries up at the root. Not only can he cancel the assignment, because that was the assignment of the fig tree, to produce figs. He canceled its assignment. That's like someone grabbing you at work. You're like, where are you going? Oh, the boss has sent me to go pick this up. No, I'm over the boss. I want you to go back to your desk.
Yeah.
Why aren't you going on? Your boss says, why aren't you going? Because the president just stopped me and reassigned me. Come on, somebody. What's the boss going to say? Oh, okay. Because the president has greater rank.
Right.
What you got to understand is that when we're following the Word of God has the highest authority.
Yeah.
That name is above every name. Come on, somebody. At that name, every knee must bow and every tongue. When you begin to make the command that is received from heaven, it's not you, it's him. And everything in the natural says, yes, sir.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
That's where people get messed up. They're trying to come up with their own commands. No, it's not you coming up with your own commands. You got to follow the command of heaven.
Amen.
The roar of heaven. Jesus did it. And didn't Jesus say, listen, as the Father sent me, so I send you? Didn't Jesus say, the works that I do, you shall do also, and greater works? Didn't Jesus say, without me, you can do nothing? Doesn't that automatically infer that with him, you can do something?
Yeah. Absolutely.
This might be a little deep for you, but that's okay. Just put it on the back shelf. I'm telling you, your words have power. Proverbs says, death and life are in the power of the tongue.
Right.
What am I trying to get back to the understanding? This tenacity that we have as a child of God. And this offensive weapon that we have as a child of God. That weapon is not defensive, it's offensive.
Right.
Did you hear me? It's offensive. It's offensive. It's not a matter of, ooh, I'm just trying to endure. I'm going to hide behind the word to endure. No, you have the word to be your defense and to keep you. But also, let's take some ground.
Yeah.
Let's reach more people.
Yeah.
Let's go up higher.
Yeah.
Let's come out stronger. Don't you look at it and say, I'm just trying to keep what I got. No. We got to say, when the devil messes with you, something needs to rise up on the inside and say, wait a minute, I'm going to bring the order of God to this situation, and I'm going to come ahead out of this situation. Speak the word. The word by itself needs to be propelled by the Spirit of God, the anointing of God. Speak the word. The word can be present in your mind, but until it's spoken in your mouth, it will not make a change in your life. In the Hebrew, the word Holy Spirit, or Spirit of God, is actually the ruach, which is the breath of God. Jesus was present on the earth, but was not activated for assignment of ministry until the Spirit came. The Spirit brings life. He said, my words, they are spirit and they are life. The roar of God. Real quickly, I see this in the description of Jesus, Revelation 1:16 and Revelation 19:15. We won't show it on the screen. But John saw Jesus and said, in his mouth was a two-edged sword. Revelation 19 says that Jesus comes back on the white horse with his army to defeat the enemy. And he slays them. He brings them into alignment. He brings a judgment by the two-edged sword out of his mouth. What is he doing? Can you imagine? Fighting with Jesus. Ooh, some of you think Jesus is a sissy. Boy, you got a wake-up call one day.
Yes,
he is bad to the bone.
Right.
He is grace and truth.
Right.
Amen. He is love and light. He is just, I'm telling you, and when I wouldn't want to be on the short end of that stick, you know what I'm saying? That when he comes, and all of a sudden, a multitude army is trying to defeat him, and all he has to do is speak.
Yeah.
and the power of his word. The power of his word. Didn't you know, even at the crucifixion, he told the disciples, check it out. He said, look, he said, don't cry for me. Don't you realize that I could call and I could ask my Father and he would give me angels to defend me? Right. Woo! He just had to speak the word. The prophet in the Old Testament said he was silenced. Why? Because if he spoke the word, they couldn't even get a hold of him until he stopped speaking. Who are you looking for? Jesus of Nazareth. I am he. The soldiers fell down. Right. His word so powerful, they could. He had to keep his mouth shut just to go to the cross. Woo! My God. He laid his life down. They couldn't take it from him. All he had to do was utter a word. All he had to do was speak the word. He could have changed everything. That's the power of the word. That's the power of the word. It works. The word works. The word works. The word works. You might not understand it. Stick in there. Keep knocking. Keep reading. Keep learning. Keep growing. And you come one day to the revelation. Heaven and earth will fail, but the word of God works. Hallelujah. Matthew 18:18, Jesus said, bind whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Mark 11:23, what you say unto this mountain, be thou removed. It'll happen. Matthew 8:8, speak the word only. What am I telling you? Get in the word. And we've talked about this on prior messages. Get that word in your heart. Let it become alive by the Spirit of God. And then when the storms come, that word will rise up. Because Jesus said the Holy Spirit will not speak of himself, but he'll remind you of my word. Jesus said, if you're ever thrown in prison or stand before judges, don't try to figure out what to say. I'll give you the words to say. The Holy Spirit will give you the words to say. You'll be speaking from the Father. What will happen? The Spirit of God will make that word alive. It'll come in your heart. And you'll begin to understand a tenacity that you didn't have in the natural, a boldness that you maybe didn't have before, a strength. A tenacity where you look at the situation and saying, it looks bad, but there's more for us than against us. Amen. It looks bad, but greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. It looks bad in the natural, but in the spiritual, supernatural, I will overcome. For this is the victory that overcomes the world, even your faith. It looks like it's dark, but you will see and speak light. Because the light of his word will come out of your mouth. You begin, some of you got to, it's a practical thing. Get strategic. Get the word on this area that's been bothering you. Study it, meditate it, let it become alive. And then step into that authority that's yours as a king of God, king and priest of the Most High God. And begin to look at that problem and say, problem, I'm going to speak to you. You're going to talk to that problem. You're going to talk to that cancer. You better believe it. If Jesus can talk to that fig tree, if Jesus can talk to that wind, then you can talk to that cancer. Say, cancer, I know you can hear me because your source is of the devil. And I'm talking to that spirit of cancer, and I'm letting you know, you can't stay. I bind you at your very root, and I command you to loose my body and go, and I speak healing into my body. Jesus spoke peace to the water, and the waters calmed down. So you can bring, what are you doing? What are you doing? You're bringing the order of God into the situation. You're stopping the power of the enemy whose assignment was to steal, kill, and destroy. And you're speaking what God wanted to be there. He told that water, you be still. I mean, that's awesome. Some of us would be amazed if we told our kids to be quiet and they listen. Come on, somebody. Get quiet. You get somebody with strong authority. Get quiet. You know what they're going to do? They're going to get quiet. See, you can't do it in your authority. Your authority don't carry anything. But with God, your authority is not your authority. It's his authority. Do you see the difference? People can get this way out of whack and go to extremes. Don't let anybody take you to extremes. Stay in the middle of the road. But it works. It works. What didn't work when I first tried, then you stick with it. You keep knocking. You keep asking until you figure out what you're missing. And just pray, Lord, open my eyes to see what I need, what I'm missing in this. Because I know your word works. So it's not God's word. It's you. And we're all there. We're all growing. See, I'm growing. You take the sword of the Spirit. Ooh. Ooh, I hope you're having a good time today because I'm enjoying myself. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Release God's roar into your world and watch all that God wants to do in your life. Amen? Amen. If you believe that, take the next 30 seconds and give him the loudest praise. Hallelujah. If you bow your head and close your eyes, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today, no one moving around, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and do not have a real relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm not into religion. I define that as man's rules to get to God. I'm into a real relationship with Jesus Christ, revealed by his word. If you don't know him, you can. If you're living in sin, you don't have to. If you're under the burden and the pain and the condemnation of sin, you don't have to live under that cloud. Sin will destroy your self-image. It will eat up life. Jesus has come that you might have life and life more abundantly. It's a quality of life that's available to each and every one of us that comes through him and that relationship with him. You don't have to go to hell. Good people don't go to heaven. Only forgiven people do. This is your chance. Today is the day of salvation. Romans 10, those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Revelation 3, I stand at the door and knock. Jesus said, if you hear my voice and open up, I'll come in. So let's pray this prayer. If you don't know him, you want to know him. Maybe it's the first time you've heard the gospel. Maybe you've allowed stuff to come between you and God and you know your heart's not right. This is your day. Don't live outside the camp. This is your right as a child of God to know him and to be forgiven. The greatest benefit, the greatest miracle of all is true conversion, salvation. Not this fake it till you make it, not trying to be something you're not, but having a heart revelation and knowing him. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're ready to experience Jesus for yourself, let this prayer come from your heart. Say it with me. Heavenly Father, I repent of all my sins. I turn to you today. I believe in my heart, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to this earth in the flesh, died on a cross for my sins, was buried for me, and on the third day rose again for me. Because I believe that, I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, wash me in your blood, forgive me, cleanse me. Say, Jesus, be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Amen. Now look at me. If you prayed that prayer and you meant business with God, I want you to, and this might be awkward for some people because some are shy, I understand, some aren't. But if you meant business with God, at the count of three, I want you to stand to your feet. I'm going to pray a blessing over your life. Why am I having you stand? Not because it determines if you're saved or not, but I think we all realize we can celebrate Jesus in here, but when you get out in the world, you still got to be strong. And if you think it's hard to stand for Jesus when people are clapping for that, how do you stand for Jesus when people are trying to talk you out of them? We have to build a tenacity back into the body of Christ, a strength, a boldness, not to be weird. Christians aren't weird. Just weird people are weird. But you can be strong without being offensive and rude. Can I get an amen? So at the count of three, if you prayed that prayer and you mean business with God, you're tired of the merry-go-round of getting saved, going back out and living in sin, getting saved, go back. No, you're ready to do this right, and so you can go from higher and higher. Proverbs 4, the path of the righteous shines brighter and brighter to the completed today. We go from glory to glory, the Bible says. God doesn't want you to have to fall back in the pit to get out of it, to fall back in to get out of it. If you're ready to move into the journey of life that God has for you and keep growing and keep going in all that God has for you to do, at the count of three, I want you to stand boldly to your feet. You might feel nervous on the inside, but you stand boldly on the outside. And we're going to pray a blessing over your life. One, if you mean business with God. Two, and you just got saved. Three, stand to your feet right now. Who am I talking to? Stand to your feet. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? I know there's more. Thank you. God bless you. Anybody else? One in the portico. God bless you. A few more seconds. This is that important. A few more seconds. Who else? Stay standing. Stay standing. Thank you. God bless you. Who else? We'll wait for you. You're like, do I have to? It's important for you to make eternity. I want you to stand. We don't want you to just suffer through. We want you to live victoriously. Anybody else? A few more seconds. You say, why are you waiting? Because I know there's more people in my spirit. I know. See, I'm more tenacious and stubborn than you are. I'll give you a few more seconds. Who is it? Who is it? Don't wait. Why are you all clapping? Does somebody stand? Y'all just clapping, hoping they'll stand. Come on, I'm missing my lunch line. I ain't messing with that. A few more seconds. Where are you at? Your heart's beating. You're like, oh, I don't know if I should. Yeah, you should. A few more seconds. You know, I hate for people to miss out on what God has. I stretch your hands toward them. If you didn't stand, don't come afterwards and say, Pastor, that was me. Will you pray for me? No, I won't. This is your moment. This is your moment. I don't play games. I love you, though. Stretch your hands toward him. Father, according to your word, you said that you will strengthen your people with might by the Spirit and the inner man. So I pray right now, we sanctify them with the precious blood of Jesus. I thank you that they're saved. I ask you, Father God, we set them apart by the blood. We cancel the assignment of the enemy against them. We cancel the traps of the enemy that has been set against them. For whom the Son is set free is free indeed. Father, I thank you for victory. Addictions are broken. Any wrong relationships that are there to hinder them, we ask you to remove them and bring better relationships into their life. Dating, friendships, work, whatever it might be. And Father God, right now, I thank you. I ask you to strengthen them with might by your Spirit in the inner man. Give them a boldness and a tenacity for you, to live for you. And I thank you, Father God, for victory. Let it be heaven on earth according to your word. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Give them a hand clap again.